get the topic, you can say it will be on choiceless action. The other day, I have told you several times about the choiceless perception through the eyes, through the ears, where you just perceive all the totality but don't choose anything in particular, and it will be a type of meditation. Today we are going to talk on choiceless action. It is not a motivated action. It will be an action which will stem from the universal, from the totality, from the ultimate, from the absolute. We may call it as God, you may call it as Atman, you may call it as Brahman. And incidentally, we will be talking finally about how to annihilate our ego. The main obstacle in our realizing the Lord in Godly illustration is our ego. Ego means our considering the body as part of me, as a vital part of me. If the body is not there, I am not there. So the body is an integral part of me. And all the actions we are making, it is all ego-based. So, it is a very, very difficult job to erase or eradicate the ego completely. So, some easy way to try to eradicate the ego. So, it is the same topic, but then I have given you different headings for the same, because it is going to cover all these points. Now, what is our idea of liberation or moksha? We think liberation or moksha is the final end of all activities. It is a cessation of all actions. The life ends more or less like the way of life we are having, it ends. And we normally consider that the final goal from one point of view, I would say that liberation is not the goal, it's more or less the beginning. It is the beginning of a different kind of action. In a pure life, a pure life which is based on the totality, the Lord, it has nothing to do with an individual. So, we may call it the starting point. I will not call it the starting point, because that final universal or the absolute or the ultimate reality, it is timeless and spaceless. Where is the question of time? So any action based on it will have no beginning, will have no end. So you cannot also call it as the beginning. Well, it is the action based on the universal. That's all you can say. So what happens is, it is actually in the post-liberation period that the real action starts. This action works through each individual, because for outwardly, for the people, till death take place, the body is there. So it looks that particular man is talking, that particular Jivan Mukta is talking, that particular Mahatma is talking. So there seems to be that it comes from the individuality, but it is only an appearance. Even though it comes to the individuality, in the pre-liberation period, it was all based on the I, the ego. But now, as I said, it's going to be based on your pure life, your life where there is no impurity, where everybody is equal, where there is no question that somebody is inferior or somebody is superior. It's a beautiful life. So it will be based on that. So in one point of view, we can call it as unique individuality. Unique in the sense, each individual is talking. So it is not a general individuality that each individual is talking from his own gunas. Rajo guna, tamo guna. So each one is talking in his own way, based on his earlier conditioning. So one Jivan Mukta then will not be talking like the other one. No, it is not so. It all comes from the same source, the ultimate source, the reality. So that is the type of action we'll be having. The question will be, now, the actions during the pre-liberation period, when we are supposed to be bound by Maya, as he said, it is marked by ego. So, is there any special distinguishing mark for the actions which take place after the liberation? The action after the liberation will have no compulsion. Neither from inside you will say, I have to do it. No question. Because it is a liberation. Where there is a compulsion, there cannot be a liberation. So you are free. Then how can there be a compulsion? But it takes place from the one source, from the top source, from the reality. And it is a beautiful action. So, how to distinguish it? Is there any distinguishing mark? Yes. The post-distinguishing mark is only one thing. That is, there will be no reactions. Now, the word reaction has got a slightly different meaning. Normally we said, I do an action now. When you get the resultant, the papa and the dukkha in the next birth, you call it a reaction. Now it is not the reaction that I am going to talk. Anyway, in between, I would like to talk a little more about that post-liberation period, the work done by a Jivan Mukta. Ashtavakra describes that as, how does a Jivan Mukta live? How does he act? It says, Nitaha samsaravatena vartate shushkaparnavate. He reminds like a dry leaf. A leaf which has been fully dried up, there is no more space for it to shrink or to do anything, any action further. It is fully shrunk. it is already lying down on the floor. It cannot do anything by itself. But then there is a big wind. There is a cosmic wind. Because it is by the cosmic wind of action the Lord runs the entire samsara, the entire universe. So when the entire universe is being propelled by a force, the same force makes everybody act. If there is a big storm, even a small blade of grass which is sitting quietly, it could be moved some hundreds of kilometers. I am told in America, the houses are all made of artificial structures which are all joined together, assembled together and made. So early morning after a storm, when the fellow gets up, he finds he is 300 kilometers away from the original place. So in the same way it happens. Nitaha samsaravatena. He is being wafted by the cosmic wind of action, where that reality, while running the universe, produces. So is a small infinitesimal part, Jivan Mukta. And so he is also propelled in that way. Now we are giving the example of a dry leaf. When the storm blows, the dry leaf will fly and go 100 meters and fall somewhere. Where exactly? Newly born worm is squirming on the ground because the sun is too hot. It is unable to bear it. There is nothing which can be done. This leaf goes and falls over it. And it gives it shelter. And you will say, see the Jivan Mukta. What a compassion. He goes and helps that worm. It was not out of his own volition. It was not out of his own willpower. He was made to go there and render shelter by the Lord, by the Supreme Lord, by the ultimate reality. Right? Nitaha samsaravatena vartate shushkaparnavate. So it is thus that a Jivan Mukta acts. And at the same, our Ashtavakra says, the Jivan Mukta has got no ego of his own. So, na audhatyam na chakarunyam. He is not arrogant. Arrogant means it is a question of a demonstration of one's superiority complex. Well, I am superior to you. Who are you? You are a worm. No. He doesn't have that. He is absolutely humble. That's all. Humble to whom? Humble to nobody. He is himself the ultimate reality. That is all. He bows to himself. Makhyam namo namaha. I bow to myself, he starts. There is nobody else. Na audhatyam, na cha karunyam. Neither has he got a compassion. If there is anybody other than me, then I will have to show compassion. When there is only one ultimate reality and we are all an integral part of it, it is that which has come and entered into each body, that reality. Just like the generator is there and all the bulbs are lighted by the same generator, the same electricity goes and enters as light in all the bulbs. There is no separate wire from each. That's all. Then, if that is so, then all the bulbs should be giving you infinite wattage, because my generator has got infinite wattage. So everything should have infinite wattage. But then we find that all of them are not similar. One is 0 watt, another is 100 watt, another is 25 watt, and yet another is 1000 watt for the TV purposes. How then this difference, when if it is the same electricity, if the same divine power has come into all our bodies, then we should all weep at the same time, we should all laugh at the same time, and we should all be of the same capacity. It is not so. Somebody is a peon, somebody is a clerk, somebody is an officer, somebody is the head of a big corporate body. When, how that is so, it is not due to any defect in that power which has come. It is all due to that defect in the bulb, in the container. We are the contents. There is the container. If we purchase some tinned fruits, the fruits are the contents. And there is a dabba. There is a container made up of tin. It's of no use to us. We just throw it off. Similarly, the body is of no use to a Jivan Mukta. It just looks that he is maintaining it for you and I. Because it is not out of our volition, it is all the thought of the cosmic body. One thought has become one man, another thought has become another man. The entire billions of the billion thoughts of the cosmic reality. And each one represents that. But then he has produced a cosmic body for us to work. Because the energy cannot work without a medium through which it has to work. If there is no bulb, the electricity cannot come by itself and then shine in the air. It has to come through a wire. It has to come into a bulb and then give us the light. So it is the medium which has got the problems. It is the medium which is not pure, which is impure. And, well, we call in the case of a bulb, that which holds the entire light has come into each, the entire wattage. Each one is full. It is of the same wattage as the generator. But then it is not coming out. It has become a thorough miser. He has got a lot of money in his bank, but he is not prepared to spend a pie. Not one pie is coming out. So similarly, the electricity is not coming out fully. It comes out a little, it comes out a little more, it comes out a much more. It is because of the resistance in the bulb. Then what is the resistance? What do you mean by resistance? Resistance means obstacle, impediment on the way. So what is that impediment? What is that obstacle in us which does not allow our full divinity to come out when it is inside? Well, and our elders have found it. We have got mainly Raga Dvesha. We have got an attachment. This is my son. This is my grandson. That fellow, He's my bloody neighbor's grandson. He's a nuisance. Always comes and looks at us. Thus, we distinguish. It is thus naturally, it is all the impurity we have. It is all the impurity we have. If you are pure, you know pretty well, it is the same electricity which is there. There is no question of electricity in the neighbor, or this neighbor, or that neighbor. In all, the same electricity dwells. It is I who is everywhere. So where is the question of an enemy? Where is the question of an attachment? Where is the question of my son? Where is the question of my neighbor's son? It's all one and the same. So it is that special attachment to few and the special revulsion to others. It may come up to the stage of a hatred. It can even go up to the stage of an enmity. It is that which stands in the way. If only we can avoid it, it's a pure life. Nothing can affect it. You see, a king had a big fighting cock. He wanted there should be a cock fight. Each of his lords, he had a fighting cock. So one day he wanted all of them should be brought together in the arena and the one will fight against the other. Well, it will give me a lot of pleasure to see. So he wanted to train it so that it should win. After all, the king's cock, it cannot afford to be defeated by others. So he gives it to a trainer who is a Sufi saint. He said, yes, I shall train it. 2 months over, hey, what has happened? Have you trained it? Sir, it's still, whenever something else comes, it lets out a war cry. That's bad. So I have to still train it. Hey, it is all required in a war. I don't understand this fellow. He said, it is bad. Anyway, I shall leave it to him. He's a trainer. He didn't tell him anything. Another 2 months passed. Hello, have you trained my cock? I have trained it all. Now it doesn't let out a war cry. But whenever something comes behind, it just bristles its body. I don't want it. Hurry. It's very essential in a war. You should bristle yourself and get up. Buck up. Anyway, the trainer knows his job. Keeps quiet. Another 2 months passed. The trainer came. King, my cock is now ready. Okay. Then his cock was brought. And all the lords, they brought their own cocks. This was standing in the middle, absolutely unmoved, like a Jivan Mukta, with the both the eyes closed like. And the other cocks, they bristled themselves and they let out a war cry and danced a war dance. It didn't lift its eye and look at anybody. It was there, absolutely quiet. The king is surprised. Hey, what sort of trainer? He has not trained it to fight. The cocks become afraid. It is not a cock, sir. It is some strange animal now. If it is a cock, it should have let out a war cry. It should also have bristled. It should have done a bigger war dance. So, then then the come on, do it.
No, you want some?
Anything you want. I don't want anything. Either let it be there, let it not be there, it doesn't affect me. So, at last, a few steps they come near it. There's a quail. It's just like that. Absolutely unaffected. They come very near. They think of picking it. They are afraid. It's a strange animal, man. It doesn't behave like a fighting cock at all. I think they have brought some other animal to fight with us. It is unfair. Only cock should come and fight with us. Then finally, being afraid, after making their war dance and all these things, making a few steps, they turn back and go away. The king's cock has won. And the king is asking, "Hey trainer, what sort of training have you given? Look here. I have trained it to be absolutely immune to anything which happens in the outside world. So it is just like that. It's a Jivan Mukta like. And naturally, nothing can affect a Jivan Mukta. No temptations, no war cries, no battles, no weapons, nothing can affect them. He is absolutely immune to all that comes from outside." And there is a proverb in the Mahabharata, akrodhena jayat krodham. If somebody is angry, then how shall you conquer it? How shall you conquer it? Only by not showing any anger in return. The moment you return anger for anger, it will grow further. It's a double anger. So naturally, it flares up. But now, nothing can happen. Well, that is the way. That is the way it has to come. And that is Jivan Mukta. Because he is rooted not on any worldly ego. It is rooted on the totality, on the cosmic totality, on the reality, on the ultimate absolute one. And naturally, there is somebody else who can come. So, na audhatyam, na cha karunyam. There is nothing that he has to show. Compassion. We think sometimes he shows compassion. And that is because vartate shushka parnavate. Like that leaf which goes and falls over the worm, it automatically happens by his will. You did nothing. You are not even aware that there is a worm to be protected. Is it not? What happened? There is a great Mahatma on the top of a hill. There were two young boys who were anxious to meet him and put him some spiritual questions. One day they started, but they didn't know exactly where exactly he was. And when they reached the foothills and they were about to climb, they saw a shepherd coming along with a number of sheep, number of lambs. He said, "Don't worry, you come with me. I'm going that side, then I'll show you where exactly is the cave where that Mahatma lives." And after a few steps, it so happened, one of the small lambs it hit itself against a rock and a lot of blood was coming, and naturally the pain was severe. It couldn't walk. The shepherd got angry, and with a whip, he began to whip it. By that time, an old man has also joined that group. He was coming. He suddenly said, "Sir, may I carry that lamb in my hand?" "Do it. Who prevents you? After all, a shepherd." Okay. He was carrying the lamb. Almost when they were reaching the top, at some place, that Mahatma, that old man, he left that lamb there and he disappeared somewhere. Then after about 10 steps or 15 steps, the shepherd told, "I am going by the right path. You go by the left, just to go for some distance. For some 20 minutes, you come across the cave where the Mahatma lives." The two people finally reached the cave, and they were surprised to find the same old man who was coming with them. He was sitting there. Then they did the prostrations to him, and they were discussing all spiritual things for some time. And almost toward the end, before leaving, they asked the question, "Sir, may we ask one question?" "Yes." "Did you carry that lamb out of compassion for the lamb, or just to show off, to show, see, look here, how kind I am to these dumb animals?" He said, "You're talking about whom? Which lamb? I'm not aware of anything like that. What are you talking, babbling? He has forgotten already. He knows nothing about it. It was just a speck in that life. He was not all bothered. He was not even conscious of what he was doing. It was done the totality." And that's what happens. Now, coming back to the topic, I was telling you, what is it that distinguishes the post-liberation period after a moksha, a jivan mukta, from a common man? Does he develop two horns? No. The only way is, just as ego distinguishes the other man, just like that here in the post period, he has only actions and no reactions. Now, what is a reaction? Most of the actions which we are all doing is not an action at all, it is all reaction. In this sense, something attractive comes on the way. When I see that, I go near that poster and see how attractive it is. "Oh my Lord, oh, it looks so realistic. That lady which has been depicted there is looking at it." So you are going and looking at it, it's not an action. It was a reaction for the vibrations which you got from the poster, from the picture, the poster. Similarly, I get jealous and so I do some action. I get angry. I got angry. So, for some reason, and when I came out, I saw my pet dog. When it came near me, I gave it two slaps. "Hey, don't come here." I never used to do it. It was a reaction. It is not an action. I hope you understand the difference now. So, most of the so-called actions are not actions. They are all reactions. Now, that action which we are doing is being a reaction. The reaction stems from ego. So that was the case before you are liberated. So after you are liberated, there will be no reactions at all. There will be only actions. If that is the case, why don't you then train yourself for it? Whenever a normal person, whenever possible, don't react. Whenever I see something, I hear a big music, like a stone statue, you go away. Don't sit there and hear it. I think this is the Bhairavi Raga. How beautiful. No, it's a reaction. So don't react. So do only actions and shun all reactions. Then what will happen? You see, we are dealing with the totality. We are dealing with the total reality, the cosmic, the immense reality, a reality without boundaries, the reality without walls, a reality without any border. And that being the case, everything is part of it. You just hold a small portion of it, and if you try to draw it towards you, the entire total reality will come towards you. You become a Jivamukta. So, the best way to annihilate, to eradicate the ego, the body sense, that I am the body sense, is avoid all reactions. That will be the way. And as I said, when you come to the level of avoiding all the reactions, you will not do any action from your side because the ego is gone. So when the ego is not there, all actions are based on ego. So you will not do. You will be simply sitting. Then what happens? It is that ultimate, the supreme Lord, He runs you. He runs you. That's all. So at that time, the action is not willed by you. The action does not happen of your volition. The action happens by itself. It is spontaneous. It is natural. It is based on the totality. It is based on the pure life. It is based on the pure life. And so you don't choose. I will do this action, I will not do this action. No choice is given. Because it is all done at that level. So this becomes a choiceless action. It becomes a choiceless action. It automatically becomes. You only stop your reactions, everything comes by itself. There only actions remain. And as the ego is not there, you cannot do any action by yourself. You are completely a puppet. Then all actions are done at that level. Nitaha samsaravatena. By the cosmic wind, when he runs the entire universe as a part of it, the actions will take place. The actions take place through your body. So as such it looks, the individual is doing. When the dry leaf went and it just sat over the worm, it was not out of its compassion. It is an action which stemmed from the totality. It came spontaneously. It was a natural thing. It was based on the pure life, which is full of compassion, which is full of love. See, in the case of reactions, the entire thing comes from outside. The entire thing comes from outside and goes to the ego. It is the ego which is running it. But in this case, the entire thing is based on the Supreme. So it is a natural and pure life. A life where there is no jealousy, where there is no attachment, where there is no enmity, where there is no hatred. What a pure life. That's all. So you come to it. Thus, stop all reactions. The reactions, when you stop it, then only you are subject to the spontaneous actions. The spontaneous actions stem only from the entire totality. It being part of it, when you just draw it towards you, the entire totality comes. You become part of the totality. You become part of the totality. And it is a beautiful life. A life, it looks, it works through individuals. That is why we may call it that there is a unique individuality like, but there is no individuality. The individual cannot do anything. There is no individual at all. The container is there. There is only one container which goes into all. And there is only one electricity which goes into all. For us, it looks that this bulb is different from that bulb is different from that bulb. But it is all being inhabited by the same electricity. It is all in continuous contact with each other. And we come to that. And this is the case of that total choiceless reactions. The choiceless action. Choiceless action. Reaction has stopped. Reactions have disappeared. I am no more bothered from outside. My enemy comes. That rascal. You immediately try to grind your teeth in action. Nothing takes place. There is no enemy at all. Where is that individual? Where is that guna? Where is that rajoguna which makes you angry and all that? There is no anger. There is no hatred. There is no enmity. There is no revulsion on seeing him. And it is a pure love which stems from inside. It is all love. From inside it comes and it spread everywhere. That is why wherever the Jivanutta lives, the entire atmosphere is free from hatred. Even the natural enemies like the serpent and its, what is it called?
Frog.
Mongoose.
Mongoose. And the mongoose, which are natural enemies, they will live together. The cat and the dog will live together. And it comes. That's all. See, in that presence, they say Vairatyaga. It is described in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. How that natural this thing comes. That's all. They all live in amity and love. Because it's such a love which engulfs you completely, which engulfs all who come in its orbit. That's all. And I would say this all, today's topic. If there is any doubts, you can ask.
Because you're talking like a lecturer, no?
That's all, but yes. No, Guruji. Any doubts, Abhi?
No, Guruji.